When does a phenomenon become the unknown? When all attempts at understanding fail, and those who thirst for knowledge and understanding watch as research turns to ash in their mouth. As the phenomenon turns from a riddle to be solved into anomalous fascination. Hello, friends. Thank you for tuning in to episode 18 of the Anomalous Fascination podcast. This week, I'd like to do without the pleasantries and get straight down to business. I figure after 17 episodes asking you to tell your friends about the show, you've got it down pat. So now, on with the episode. Sometimes in life, things disappear. It could be any number of things. Another victim of the sock monster. It's real. I will die on this hill. An old picture, your keys, your phone, or even some tools you swore you always kept in the same spot. The thing about disappearances is, we can usually give at least an educated guess as to what happened to it, but never truly know the story. And interestingly enough, the reappearance of an item, whether you'd seen it before or not, can often be more mysterious than its departure. How on earth did this get here? Where did this come from? Where has it been all this time? Particularly when something shows up in a place it absolutely is not supposed to be. It can really mess with you. So why do I bring this up? Well, because the setting of our story is a place where things like to disappear. The sea. Sure, it's a generalized term, but it's used to mean not only the actual sea, but also the open ocean, gulfs, and other similar bodies of water. Nothing keeps secrets quite like the sea does, and it can claim anything from massive ships, small boats, personal property, dead animals, and of course, human remains. Once the sea claims it, there's really no way of knowing what led it to be there. All we know is that somehow, it got there. And just like our first analogy, the more mysterious elements of the sea is not the disappearance, but when the sea decides to send something back. Sometimes it can be a pleasant surprise, like when a tanker got hit by a storm and lost a large container filled with 28,000 bath toys. Folks in Oregon, Washington, and Alaska were finding rubber ducks, frogs, turtles, and beavers washing up the shore for the next 16 years. Pretty interesting souvenir. But that isn't always the case. Because in August of 2007, a young girl was walking along a beach in British Columbia, picking up seashells, digging in the sand, and just generally exploring, when she came upon a shoe. Not an old shoe. In fact, it appeared relatively new, although the wash and wear from the sea certainly didn't leave it sparkling. The little girl went to inspect the shoe and noticed it was a bit heavier than she was expecting. Curious, she decided to pull up the tongue of the shoe to find out what was making the shoe so heavy. Suddenly, the girl screamed, and her parents came running over to see what was the matter. And while consoling their daughter, they looked down to see what had frightened her, as they saw within the shoe lay a severed human foot. Let's take a stroll, shall we? Needless to say, when severed human feet are discovered, the press tends to get involved. So almost immediately following the discovery of this foot, August 20th, 2007, the story went out in both British Columbia and the surrounding areas of Seattle and Tacoma. It was certainly a startling discovery, but didn't immediately gain much traction. One-offs are interesting and spooky, sure, but not something that gains massive attention right away. However, before the articles were even a week old, there was another chilling discovery. Because on yet another island in British Columbia, a second severed foot was found, only a dozen or so kilometers away from the first. And before you speculate that perhaps these belong to the same person, they were both right feet. Needless to say, two separate feet found in two close locations over a six-day period was enough to sound the alarms. Stories published over the next several years would do little but fan the flames to suspicion and fear amongst the public. So much speculation of whether this could be a serial killer, plane crash victims, 2004 tsunami victims from across the ocean, or even the mob using the sea to dispose of body parts. The stories and gossip could certainly be a bit over the top, but over the next year, even skeptics would start getting, well, a bit concerned. Because in February, May, June, August, and November of 2008, four more feet would show up in British Columbia. And one would even make its way just south of the international border, to a sparsely populated area of the Olympic Peninsula of Washington. Naturally, tests were done on all the feet to confirm they were human, to make sure there weren't fakes out there to spook people since the stories were so widely known. So that makes 7 feet in a period of 1 year and 3 months, all but one of which were right feet, and all of which inside fairly new tennis or running shoes. So in an effort not to bury the lead on this story, over the next 11 and a half years, from August 2007 to January of 2019, a total of 21 feet would be discovered on the various shorelines of British Columbia and near the Washington cities of Seattle, Tacoma, and Everett. In addition to these confirmed cases, there were several fakes, including one shoe stuffed with an animal foot and seaweed, and several others stuffed with raw meat. Needless to say, something was happening in this area that was unprecedented. Now, shoed feet had shown up in various locations throughout history, particularly in the last century, but never so close to one another, and never so frequent in such a small time span. So is this a work of a serial killer that cut off feet as their calling card? Well, serial killer? Maybe. But as for the foot removal, science would slowly work its way into the story over the next 10 years. Although some research had hinted at it over several years, in December of 2017, the British Columbian Coroner's Service would officially declare there to have been no foul play, at least in terms of the feet being removed. Because what was discovered almost immediately with all of these feet is that they were not severed in the way you would expect. They weren't cut at the ankle with a knife or an axe, but rather appeared to have rotted and decayed. This is where science explains one aspect of the equation. Because it's thought that perhaps the reason that such a large amount of feet and shoes were suddenly being discovered is that modern tennis and running shoes provide better protection and better buoyancy than shoes of years gone by. None of the feet were showing up wearing high heels or sandals. All were well preserved inside a fairly new tennis shoe. Essentially, the idea is that if a person dies in the sea, or is killed and thrown in, the body tends to decompose rather quickly. In addition to harsher water with a good deal of acidity, fish and aquatic life can help break down the body even quicker, which will eventually lead the foot to detach at the ankle, leaving only the remaining foot safely encased in its shoe. So after years, it appeared there was at least some resolution to the story. But who were these people? And how did they die? Stay tuned after this short break to find out more about the investigation.
Hey, hey! Are you that weird one in your friends group that loves to watch true crime documentaries? Have you ever wanted to learn more about the lesser known crimes? And are you fascinated with ghost stories? I'm Hannah, the creator, editor, and host of Murder Bucket, a podcast that talks about, get this, murders, paranormal activity, abductions, kidnappings, and weird stuff. Join me every Tuesday wherever you listen to podcasts to get the inside scoop on some of the most interesting topics in the true crime world. I am also very active on social media. You can find me on Instagram at MurdBucket, Facebook at BucketMurd, and Twitter at TheMurderBucket.
Well, hey there, I'm Melanie Peterson, the host of Mask of Sanity. Buckle up, my friends, and come on a journey with me as I take you through the cases of some of the world's most notorious killers and root for the brave men and women who brought them to justice. Subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts and hear all about the calculated madness of some of the world's most brutal killers who hid behind the mask of sanity. Don't forget to follow Mask of Sanity on all social media to stay up to date on each week's episode. Until next time, stay safe, friends.
Let's talk about what authorities have been able to discover over the past 12 years. Naturally, when a foot was discovered, they wanted to find out who it could have belonged to. However, the reporting styles of the US and Canadian authorities are very different and have led to difficulty in confirming identities and cases. The US authorities and reporters tended to handle things on a more need-to-know basis. So much so that Canadian sources were the only sources initially reporting some of the feet discovered in American shorelines. So there's far less known about the feet discovered in Washington. Or even if there may have been more that had not been reported. Of the feet that we know that were discovered, 21 feet, there have been 10 total identity confirmations, including 4 of which were actually 2 matching pairs. So 8 individuals out of a possible 19 people have been confirmed. What we know of those who were confirmed isn't a lot, although the authorities have certainly been quick to say it is. One set of shoes was confirmed to belong to a woman who had jumped off the Patullo Bridge, a major bridge that goes over the Fraser River in Canada. Other than that, there is no confirmation of how anyone else died. However, as we know from this show, people are often anxious to close the book on situations that are invoking unpleasant discussions amongst the press and the public. The word from authorities became that they believe these feet were results of numerous suicides. Seems like a pretty big conclusion to jump to. But why do they think that? Because among those who were identified, one was a confirmed suicide, and 2 of them were confirmed to have had depression, an extremely common diagnosis. That's right, a couple were diagnosed with depression at some point, so what else could it be? I hope my sarcasm is coming across loud and clear. It was a strange jump to make, but I suppose in lieu of further evidence, that's a best guess from authorities. I only wish they would say that rather than presenting it as a definitive solution to the problem. So, this case remains largely unsolved. Numerous previously reported missing persons suddenly show up in the least pleasant way imaginable, because the sea decided to give them back to us. All we can really conclude at this time is this. The people went missing at some point in time. Something happened, and then their feet showed up. The middle step, the something happened step, is always the most maddening. Because what conclusions can be drawn from a foot? No causes of death could be determined or ruled out for any of them, except the one confirmed suicide. And we still don't know who the majority of these feet even belong to. So I suppose the question is this. Does the simple fact that newer and more protective shoes exist provide a justification for 21 feet to be found within roughly 30 miles of one another in such a small time period? Maybe this is just a matter of media exposure overblowing something that isn't that uncommon. Forensic science professor Gail Anderson of Simon Fraser University in British Columbia was interviewed about the scientific breakdown of the body and how it reacts in water. She stated that it is not uncommon for extremities such as hands, feet, and heads to detach as the body decomposes, though it is rare that they float, such as the feet in our story. However, between herself and a longtime police officer in the area, they had a similar sentiment regarding the likelihood of this situation being completely natural, with the officer stating that, quote, finding a foot washed up on the shore without the rest of the body is pretty unusual, but it happens. Now, finding two that close together in so little time, that's a 1 in a million anomaly. But 3, 4, more? Well, that's a whole other kind of impossible. Makes you wonder. Indeed, it does. Thank you again for listening to this episode of Anomalous Fascination. If you'd like to keep in touch with the show, you can find me at AnomalyPod on Facebook and Twitter, or email me at anomalousfascination@gmail.com. And if you love the show, hop on Apple Podcasts and leave the show a nice 5-star rating and review. Or even just tell a friend about it. And until next time, thanks for listening.